You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast, where I'll be looking ahead to two contests at Haydock Park and two at Ascot, and we'll also have a little look ahead to some of the weekend's biggest fixtures. It's a mouth-watering weekend, of course, of National Hunt action. As always, remember to join us on Friday afternoon on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:40 with Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Haydock, Ascot and Foss last in the afternoon. Then it's all weather throughout the evening at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on this edition of the podcast is Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmers?
Oh, very good afternoon, champ. Sam, I'm in great form, thank you. And the National Hunt season really has got underway now, hasn't it? Job set alight, obviously, with the Paddy Power meeting last weekend. And then we've got some great stuff coming up both tomorrow, Friday, and obviously Saturday with Haydock and Ascot, providing some real top-class National Hunt fare. All good.
Yeah, we do. It's fantastic. We've seen so many of the protagonists last season as well come back, and they're pretty much all of them. Fohina, a slight disappointment, but they've all looked good on their seasonal reappearance, haven't they, Chris?
Oh, yeah, they have, yeah. I mean, Conan Gray was very impressed. He's obviously met a little bit of a setback, but hopefully he's going to be okay if he possibly doesn't make the Hennessy next week. But again, we've got some lovely horses. The Henderson horses have come back well. Simon Siggs, Bobsworth, Silviano Conti made a pleasing reappearance. So, yeah, all to look forward to. And again, Fohin getting beat wasn't the end of the world for me.
Yeah.
You know, again, they are animals. They do have their off days.
And he's not been beat by a no-hoper.
No, he's been beaten by a quality horse.
Four grade ones, finished.
Who might have been just slightly more rev for the day than he was. So, yeah, I don't think it's the end of the world for Fohin, that is for sure.
Yeah.
And again, I think it also just gives us all a reality check that they aren't invincible. Now and again, they can have an off day. Or now and again, they can't just be beaten by a better horse on the day.
Correct, yeah. It doesn't really blemish Fohin's record too much, does it?
I don't think so, no. I don't think Mr. Mullin is losing too much sleep at the moment.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. He probably sleeps easier than anyone in the racing game at the moment with the armoury that he's got to go to war with.
With the firepower he's got, yeah. Goodness gracious me, yeah. Happy days.
Indeed. You've been let loose in Ireland recently, Pimmers.
Yeah, I did a little trip to Ireland over the last couple of days. A pal of mine had a nice winner at Carlisle last Monday and then went on to sell it at a vast inflated price from what he bought it from. Good. At the sales later that week at Cheltenham. So, yeah, went to visit him, and he's got some beautiful young horses out there, which we took a browse at. And, yeah, it was good fun. Weather was horrendous.
Right,
trees,
yeah,
falling here, there and everywhere. The only safe haven was the pub.
You've got to do what you've got to do.
What could have been better?
To be safe, yeah.
Exactly.
Safety first.
It was a health and safety issue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're in the midst on Thursday afternoon to record this of a massive Sheena West gamble as well. Have you seen this? Obviously, by the time the podcast goes out, we'll know the result of these.
Cool, blimey. We shall watch that with interest then.
Yeah, certainly.
And see if that gamble comes off. It would be brilliant if it does. It just, Sheena West and gambles don't sort of go together. They're not like jam and bread, are they? They're a bit more like chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
But anyway, we shall see. Good luck to the guys that have got involved there, that is for sure.
We'll take a quick look ahead, though, to the big standout race of the weekend. The Betfair Chase, of course, coming up on Saturday. Five declared for it at this stage. Silvaniaco Conti at 5-6. Q-Card 5-2. Dinast 8-1. Ballinagore at 9s. And Holywell at 12-1. I was really looking forward to dissecting this race this year, Chris, but it's a bit of a lacklustre turnout.
Yeah, it's disappointing, doesn't it? And I mean, this was part of the £1 million bonus. And again, I don't think any of these are going to win all three, do you? But
no.
Obviously, Silviano Conti, he's won the race a couple of times in the past. Q-Car's won it in the past as well. For me, Dinast, bitterly disappointed at Weatherby last time out. For me, he's a Mr. Ed, to be perfectly honest. Can't see him bouncing back. Barnagara couldn't see winning, and nor could I see Holywell. So I think it's between the top two. And again, when Q-Car won it, he got a soft lead, didn't he? Everything fell into place for him. Quite keen at Weatherby when he ran, but he travelled through the race supremely well. Again, I think if that Q card turns up at Haydock this weekend, it turned up at Wetherby, then I think he's that one they've all got to beat. Great respect for Silviano Conti, obviously, from the Nichols Yard, who ran well on debut this year. But I'm just hoping that it won't become quite enough test of stamina for him.
Okay, Q card 5-2. Yeah, he was impressive when he bounced back in the Charlie Hall.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant, because, as I say, he'd lost his way a little bit. Again, he had a little profile, same as Dinast, been there, done it, sometimes got the T-shirts, and more often than not didn't get the T-shirt. But the way he travelled through the race that I enjoyed, he really jumped well and travelled well and got the job done nicely.
They say they never come back, Pimmers, but Q card, Sprinter Sakura, Bobsworth, have we already seen early on in the season that sometimes they can?
Well, I think obviously the great comeback is the Sprinter Sakura, to be fair. I mean, we know he'd won his straight 10 and then it went array, and the Hendersons kept faith in him, and, you know, he's rewarded them at Cheltenham because he was just like his old self, looked absolutely stunning and magnificent. Again, there's no finer species of racehorse than Sprinter Sakura, certainly not National Hunt Horse. And, you know, he powered home, he did everything right. And again, he got a reception that was worthy of a festival winner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that, again, just shows you the great passion that National Hunt people have, isn't it? You know, they really do appreciate a top horse, and they really appreciate a horse that's been there, done it, got the T-shirt, lost the plot, and then come back again. Wonderful reaction to his victory.
Yeah, it was. As you say, the noise was building into a crescendo from four out, pretty much.
Yeah.
It was something to see. We'll have to move on, though, to take a look at Friday's racing, because we're a bit bereft of news, aren't we? There's no...
We are a bit. There's plenty of political stuff to talk about, but I don't think we want to go down that road.
No.
Politics has never been my great...
We'll have to get the QC in.
Great passion, yeah. Judge James will have to come in if we started going down that road. And again, who do we need here at William Hill? We don't need any more than our great ambassador AP for controversy.
Indeed,
so there's no point me joining in on that bandwagon.
Yeah, indeed. We're already... We'll be up to our neck in it if you have your say, won't we?
Fortunately, AP can pay his way out of it. I don't think I could.
Yeah, that's right. We'll move on then to take a look at some of Friday's racing. Good racing on Friday. We start at Haydock with their 12.50. This is a handicap hurdle over 2.06. 11 runners go down to this class 3, and some nice types here, Pims.
Yeah, nice competitive race. Good rise on the offer as well, £7,798 to the winner. And you've got some horses that are coming into the race on the back of good runs. Island Heights has been in great form for the very much informed Lucinda Russell Yard. He was a nice winner the last time we saw him up there, over 2.5, 2.6 tomorrow, so a very similar trip for him. You've got Optimistic Bias, a winner for the O'Neill Yard last time we saw him. Young Patrick Cowley takes a valuable 5 off him. Oscar Blue's been in cracking form for the Brian Ellison Yard. He came good at Kelso last time out when we beat Sunny West by a neck. And the other horse that I thought ran well in defeat without quite troubling the winner was Quell Elite from the very much informed yard of James Moffitt as well. He ran well behind Manball and Dull at Hexham last time out. But the horse I'm going to take a chance with tomorrow afternoon in this 12.50 at Haydock is the Malcolm Jefferson trained Major Ivan. Been running plenty well enough in defeat of late. He was behind Oscar Blue last time we saw him. But I think the fitting of the blinkers tomorrow could well just make him concentrate that little bit more and just might bring out that little bit more ability out of him so that he can get his head in front. He hasn't got his head in front for a few runs, but tomorrow, galvanised hopefully by those blinkers, he could reverse that form with Oscar Blue.
Okay, Major Ivan then for Pimmers, Malcolm Jefferson and Brian Hughes in the 12.50 at Haydock. We'll stay at Haydock then for our next race, and one of the feature races on the day on Friday. This is the 155, the Newton Novices Hurdle. It's a listed event over a mile and seven. We've got seven runners going down for it, and some youngsters line up for this, Chris, but potential aplenty.
Oh, fantastic little race, this real mouth-watering event. Just short of 12 grand to the winner as well. And you've got the dual winner, Maracadua, I think that's how you could pronounce it, the Paul Nichols Yard trained runner. He's hood and tongue tie on tomorrow afternoon, but he's had those gadgets on before, and he's done absolutely nothing wrong since he came over from his native France. Won unchallenged at Wincanton last time out, beating Flamingo Lad by a comfortable 9 lengths. Altruism's got a little bit to find for me on figures. He won nicely enough at Cartmel back in August, beating Scrafton by 12 lengths on that occasion. The interesting player for me here is Francis of Assisi. Won three races up, bop, dead easy. But then next time out, he's in at the deep end. In that real good hurdle at Wincanton, he's finished fourth on that occasion when he's beaten 8.5 lengths. But that was behind Irvine, who is a high-class individual, top-quality hurdler. And again, reproduction of that form could certainly be a major player here tomorrow afternoon. And the other one that's interesting is Welsh Shadow. Finished behind Yanworth on his debut at Exeter last time out when he was a 3-1 favourite. Not entirely sure how much the Skelton horses improved from the debut run. They often strip very fit. But again, there could be a little bit more of progression in this Dan Skelton train runner as well. So, 7 go to post. I couldn't see Lady Yates being a player, and I couldn't really see Mardale being a player. But the other 5 could be very competitive. But I'm hoping that Francis of Assisi can get the job done.
Okay, Francis of Assisi then. Barry Geraghty riding Fort John Ferguson. We'll move over to Ascot then for the next two. We start with their 3:15. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 7. 9 of them line up for the Class 3. What do you fancy here, Pimmers? And another really good pot available as well.
Oh, good prize money again, just over $6,000 to the winner. But again, we shouldn't be saying good prize money. This should be the norm. If we were in France, not that we'd want to be at the moment, but if we were in France, God blimey, this would be the norm. $16,000, norm.
Yeah.
But yeah, very competitive race. Good racing prospect as well. You've got trainers who are coming into this race in good form as well. Emma Lavelle String's been in cracking form. Charlie Longston can do no wrong. Venetia Williams been in good form. Alan King trained the big race winner at the weekend. You know, there's plenty of trainers in good form and plenty of horses coming into this race in good form as well. And I'm going to side with, I would imagine, he's going to be the favourite, to be fair, Bob Tucker. He made all the running at Worcester last time out. I think he's got to up his game in this grade tomorrow, but I do feel from the yard that's in good form with a pilot that can do no wrong, the shape of Aidan Coleman, despite him more than likely being top of the market, I think he's the one they've all got to beat.
Bob Tucker then getting the vote for Pimmers then. Aidan Coleman and Charlie Longston in the 3:15 at Ascot. One more to take in then from Ascot, and it's their last of the day, the 3:50. This is a handicap hurdle over 1.7 miles. 12 of them are set to take their chance in this one. What was on the shortlist?
Oof, well, again, very, very competitive. But you start with Three Kingdoms. He had some tremendous form last year, didn't he? And, I mean, again, he slightly disappointed when he finished 5th or 6th at Aintree back at the big meeting there in April. And again, you maybe forgive him that because he's had a very long season last year, but he is a very, very capable handicap hurdler. Whether the handicapper has got his measure of a mark of 145 remains to be seen. But again, whether he'll just strip fitter for that run tomorrow, having not seen him for 225 days, remains to be seen. Of the others, you've got Forrest Behan, who's run really well last time out up at Ayr for the Brian Ellison Yard. Dickie Johnson takes the mount there. You've got Old Starlock. Gosh, he's been around years. He takes his chance tomorrow afternoon for the Arbuthnot Yard. You've got Nezarenko, who's run really well in defeat the last couple of times we've seen him representing Nicky Henderson and Nico de Vonville. And then you've got Cricklewood, trained by Charlie Longs and ridden by Leighton Aspinall. This Cricklewood came good last time out when he beat Orthodox Boy, or should I say Orthodox Lad, by 2.75 lengths at Warwick. That was a very, very competitive handicap hurdle. I still think he's ahead of the handicapper. Only got 10 stone 4 on his back tomorrow afternoon. And again, with that featherweight, despite it being a competitive field, he still just might be one little step in front of the handicapper.
Okay, there we are then. Chris Pimlott's thoughts ahead of the action on Friday. Just remind us, please, one more time then, Pimmers, your 4 selections for it on Friday.
Yeah, we're going to start at Haydock Park with Major Ivan for Malcolm Jefferson. In the feature hurdle race of the afternoon at Haydock, it's Francis of Assisi. And over to Ascot for their handicap chase, we're going to take a chance with Bob Tucker. And in the final race of the afternoon at Ascot, the handicap hurdle run over 2 miles, the selection is number 10, Cricklewood.
Wonderful stuff. Chris Pimlott then ahead of Friday's action. Remember to join us from 12:40 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio with Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Haydock and Ascot, as we've mentioned there. They also joined Foss Lass in the afternoon. Then it's all-weather action into the evening from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So be sure to join us for all of that. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Pimmers, and best of luck on Friday.
Look forward to it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.